أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعد النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشر الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله هدى من شاء إلى المستقيم إلى الصراط المستقيم وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد Dear beloved believers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and we witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. It is Allah, the Almighty, who has created the human being in the most excellent mold and symmetry, and he has sent his prophets and messengers with good news as well as warning to guide them to out of darkness into the light. I witness that Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the universal messenger to whom the Quran was revealed, a message for all humanity for all time. Dear beloved believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is God most high in the Quran, he has said, "Amana rasulu bima unzila ilay min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli la nufarraku bayna ahadin min rusuli wa qalu sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir." This ayat in the Quran says that the messenger believes in Allah, and so do the believers. They believe in one God, that is Allah. They believe in his angels, they believe in his books, and they believe in his messengers, all of them, and they make no distinction between any of them. And they say, "Our Lord, to you is the final reward, the final judgment." Dear beloved believers, Islam is a religion that requires of us to trust God. That's why it be saying, "Amana rasulu bima unsila ilay," that the messenger, he trusts God. He's a believer. And he doesn't ask us to believe in that he doesn't believe in himself. See, this is important. You know, sometimes people want, they ask you to do something, but they don't believe in what they ask you to do. But here's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was motivated and given guidance from God to encourage those who were in disbelief. They are called kafirs, in an environment called Jahili Arabia, ignorant environment. And here is a circumstance that he was faced with, where you got all these people worshiping idols, having bad human behavior, and he's got to go to them and invite them away from their worship their bad behavior, something that they love to do, especially those who are ruling over them. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he was a revolutionary. He revolted against the religion of his day. You know, the knowledge of the day that was ruling the people. He wouldn't become a part of it. So he revolted, you know, and he led a revolution against idolatry. He led a revolution against corrupt worship. Now, I know you might not see it in that way. You say, well, he was a prophet. But every prophet that comes, they have to come fighting what is unjust, fighting slavery, fighting inequality, you know, that is brought about by corrupt worship. Imam Waruddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, may Allah's mercy and blessing be upon him, he said that if your worship is right, your thinking will be right. Listen to that statement. If your worship is right, your thinking will be right. Why is that important? Because the human being, his highest development is to be able to think. When I say highest development, what rises him above the plant world, the mineral world, the animal world? What rises him above that is his ability to think. If he doesn't have thinking ability, then he can just be a regular animal and go live in the zoo and people will feed you or take care of you and wash you down and accept like any zoo creature, you know. But you and I have been granted a gift, a blessing from Allah, not only just to have a brain, because you got animals that have brains, but a brain that's able to decipher, extract, and uncover knowledge from its environment. And the knowledge that we have gotten from the environment, we can use it to advance ourselves or retard ourselves. We can go forward with it or go backward with it. You see? This is what knowledge does, you know. You could use knowledge for good, you can use knowledge for bad. So we look at the world today and we examine the environment and we see in it that there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of technology, and a lot of great minds. But look at the condition of the world. Look at the condition of the world. What is being promoted in the world, you see? And almost everything that is essential, I'm gonna say essential for the advancement of human life, that God warns us against, we live in a society that says it's okay. God warns us against Hamar and Mesir. He warns us that strong intoxicants and gambling retards the ability to advance in a calculated, reasonable way, because you can't make sense out of where you're going. And when you do get to someplace, you gamble with where you are. You see, it's not just going to the gas station and buying a lottery ticket, it's the habit of rolling the dice with your life. You see, by not looking serious enough at the life that you have, and then organizing that life and prioritizing that life to advance according to the plan of the life. You see? See, life has a plan in it. The planet has a plan in it. You know, Imam Muhammad said, he said the reason why they call it a planet, because a plan went in it. You know, it's not just a ball. It's a planet. They just don't spell it P-L-A-N-I-T. You know, but a plan is in. You study the whole creation, there's a design in it. There's a plan in it. There's something in it that advances its existence. And you and I come out of it. And we come out of it on a plan. The heart surgeon, he had to study the heart. The brain surgeon had to study the brain. The eye had to study the eye. The skin, the cell, everything in our body has a plan to it, a biological plan in it. And when we extract knowledge from the creation, Allah says about the creation, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. That Allah created everything in the heavens and the earth بِالْحَقِّ. You know this term haq means what? Truth. He created it with truth. So now, look at your environment, and everything you extract from the environment is true. There's not one lie that comes to you. Gravity never lie, electricity never lie, light, darkness, you know, water. None of these things are liars or corruptors. It's when you get the knowledge of it that you begin to twist it. The apple has never been a liar. The apple does exactly what it's supposed to do, you know. And you get the apple and you break it down and you make apple sauce, apple butter. When you begin to retard even more, you make apple wine and get drunk. Same thing with grapes and anything. I'm just showing you that everything in the creation has its natural nature, and it lives according to that nature that has been given, and it gives. But your mind has been made and able to extract from it and then use it in a way to accommodate your existence. Here is the problem. The mind of the human being has been infected with arrogance. And that arrogance has made it stupid. You see? And we see a sign of this in the Quran with this this entity called Iblis. Iblis had the ability to study the creation too, just like the angels. The angels. See, sometimes we think, well, angels don't have knowledge. They do, you know, because when they were told to submit, they had a question to God. You know, they asked God, what are you going to make? Not a doubtful question, they just was inquiring, you know, because they knew what the situation was existing. And Allah, he didn't tell them what he was going to make. He just said, "Inni alamu ma la ta'lamun." I am knowing what you don't know. You see? And then he taught Adam what they did know. And said, okay, now submit to him. Tell him their name. And they couldn't name it. He said, Adam, tell them their name. And he named them. And they said what? قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Glory be to you, God. We praise you. We have, this is the angel saying this now, we have no knowledge except for what you gave us, what you taught us, you see. So, angels had knowledge too. They just didn't have what Adam had. In other words, they didn't have what you got. They didn't have what you get, you, the Adam. And that Adam in you is a generating factor in you that anything you investigate in the creation, you can name, whether it's physical or invisible. You understand what I'm saying? You can name the invisible. You name things that you can't even see, like the air, the black hole, space. You can't see space, but you know it's here, so, well, I'm going to call it space. God didn't send down revelation, this is the space, this is the light, this is that. You name these things. Not only that, the human being was able to go into the invisible in the creation and then name it. The horse when he drinks water, the dog when he drinks water, the ant when it drinks water, the bird when it drinks water, they just survive off of it. They live off of it. You drink it, you ain't satisfied. Until you look into it and say, oh, this liquid here, what is this? What is it? Ah, it's H2O. Your mind went in there and got the hydrogen and oxygen out based upon two to balance it. And then you discover that the hydrogen it makes fire and the oxygen can make fire. But out of the fires that it makes, water comes out of it to put the fire out. Man does that because God has given him the ability to think and to reflect on this creation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, لا تفكروا في خلق الله ولا تتفكروا في الله فإنكم لن تقدروا قدره. The Prophet said, reflect and think in the creation, but do not try to reflect and think in Allah, because you will never be able to do it, because you cannot estimate him. You see, now this is important to understand, because in Arabic, we have to begin to pursue to get this language, because this language, in the grammatical understanding, I mean, the message tells you one thing, but when you begin to examine it more, you can see this meaning. See, la tafakkaru, tafakkaru means to reflect and think. But it's the form of the verb that when you reflect on something, it comes back to you. And you digest it, you contain it, and you figure it out. You see? So Allah said, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah said, tafakkaru fil khalqi Allah. Reflect and think in the creation. وَلَا تَتَّفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. But do not try to reflect and think in Allah. Why? Because the fifth form of the Arabic verb means whatever you think on comes back to you. And you contain it and hold it. Well, you can't think on Allah because Allah is not going to come back to you because you ain't big enough to hold it. The space can't hold it. The light can't hold it. Allah cannot be contained. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So the Prophet said, leave that alone. Stop trying to be God. Because once you think on the creation, you will understand your role in it. Because God will guide the brain to that role. Allahu Akbar. So dear beloved people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said again, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. And this is the premise and the emphasis that I want to make on this Jum'ah. The Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you, listen to this, the most excellent of you and the best of you is he that learns the Quran and then teach it. This is so beautiful. Because this same word that I just gave you, tafakkaru, is in the fifth form of the Arabic verb, meaning that when you reflect on it, you do what? It comes back to you and you contain it, right? The same word here, ta'allama al-Qur'an, that when you learn the Quran, it's in the fifth form of the Arabic verb too, that when you study the Quran, it comes back to you and it begins to teach you. You understand? You know, the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Quran comes back to you and it begins to teach you. See, anybody who has done any kind of teaching anytime, you know when you teach, you what? You learn. When you teach, you learn. Adam alayhi wa salatu wa salam, I'm gonna just show you another connection here. Adam, you know, when he was taught by God, وَعَلَّمَ Adam al-Asma'a, he was taught by God, right? So it should be seen that if you are taught by the creator of all the world, seems like you should be able to manage yourself, right? When you know, you've been trained by God, the creator of everything. So then he placed him in an environment and gave him instructions. Now you have the ability, Adam, you and your mate, to eat from everything in this garden. Now you have to understand this. Don't think this is apples, oranges, fruit, bananas, pomegranates, and all this stuff. That's part of it. But Imam Muhammad said it like this. He said, the whole universe is the garden. that you can eat from anywhere in this garden because you have an appetite. In order to eat, you must have an appetite. So that's what it said. وَكُنَّا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيَّةُ شِكْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُنَّ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And he gave Adam and his mate. He placed him in the Jannah. They call it, translate it as garden, but the Jannah is what? Paradise, isn't it? Listen. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ جَنَّةً. He placed them in the garden, but he placed them in paradise. Don't be waiting to go there. You already were placed there. You got kicked out. God created you and placed you in paradise. And you got kicked out. Because of what? Not because you ate from a tree. Because he said don't go near the tree. He told you what to eat from. Don't go near that one. Imam Muhammad put it like this. He said, don't think about trees. Think about the command that was given to him. And that was to obey God. All you and I have to do is just obey God. That's it. Obedience is the key. You can eat from any place, God said, anywhere. But don't, while I talk about Hadith, he said, but don't go near disobedience. Or you will vali me, you will oppress your existence as Adam and hurt your thinking ability. Now, to bring the point that I want to emphasize to you, we were saying ta'allama and tafakkara. Now, we go where Adam said, where it says in the Quran, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتًا فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then Adam learns a word from his Lord and repented. See, this is a beautiful thing about your nature. You see, Imam Muhammad put it like this. He said that Adam's perfection, his perfection is that he can make mistakes. See, that's what makes you perfect. You can make a mistake, and once you make a mistake, what can you do? Ask for forgiveness and repent. God loves you when you do that. Oh, buddy, he loves you and me because he know that mine was going to get you in trouble because you were going to listen to you, Wesley Sufi Sudurin, as the jinn, the shaitan, and you're going to get in trouble and you're going to start begging. Oh, Lord, help me. God, help me. I'm in trouble. I can't get out. He said, oh, my servant, come to me. This is what Allah wants from us. He wants to be beggars of him. Don't beg the world. Beg God. So here's Adam now. It says, Fetha laqa. Here's the fifth form in every verb. And it's from laqa. Laqa means to meet with something. Fetha laqa means when you meet with it, it comes back to you. It's called in this world's knowledge, empirical knowledge, where you learn by experience. So Adam learned by experience, and when his experience taught him, said, oh, buddy, this ain't what God wanted me to do. Oh, my Lord, forgive me. And he repented, and Allah forgave him and began to guide him again. See how wonderful and merciful Allah is. You think that he's sitting up on some throne, God sitting up, yeah, he messed up again. Go to hell with you. Boom, down with you here. That's not God. God is our Rahman Rahim. He's the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And he who alladhi yusawwirukum fil arham. And he shaped you in that mercy. Your whole system has mercy in it. You know, he shapes you in the wombs as he pleases. But the word for womb is arham, from rahima, mercy. So you were shaped in mercy, conceived in mercy, developed in mercy, and put in a merciful environment. This is Allah, the Almighty. Allah. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. This is great for us, and I'm emphasizing this to you today, that we are, you know where that knock is? That's Ramadan knocking at the door. The visitor is coming. Oh, buddy. And you got to get the house ready. You see, when Ramadan coming now, who is it? Ramadan. Oh, my God. What? I thought she was supposed to come. He's at the door. He's knocking at the door. And you know, when you have guests over your house, what are you trying to do? straighten it up, don't you? You try and straighten that house up. Get that up off the floor. Look, didn't I tell you clean this room? Didn't I tell you? You start going, let me see what I got. You start looking. Oh my God, we ain't ready to receive him. You know, can you come back? No, I can't come back. Just let me in, and whatever you got going on, we'll straighten it out. That's Ramadan. So your physical body, you know it been coming. You 9 months ago, you know it was gonna get here. Now it's right at the door, knocking. Boom, 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 boom. You know, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the guests of Ramadan? Rapping the internet and doing your hustles and working that kid out there, hustles and working that at that and not. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Dear beloved believers, this is a wonderful, wonderful religion. This religion has been ordered by God to complement the nature that we have. The nature that you have was made excellent. The nature that you have was made excellent. Get away from this ideal that the devil put out here that you're born corrupt and you're born in sin, that you're born a criminal. Allahu Akbar. Get away from that. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And certainly we have created the human being فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, in the most excellent, upright mode and symmetry. Your nature is upright. Your existence is upright. Your aspirations are upright. The Hanif nature, you know, Hanif also means upright. The word Hanif, you see, and Hanif and Qiyam, both of them mean upright. And Taqweem comes from the same word as Qiyam, which means upright. So I was asking Imam Muhammad once, rahimahullah alayhi, I asked him, I said, brother Imam, I said, both of these words, Hanif and Qiyam, are translated upright. Wherein lies the difference? He said the Hanif nature is the urge and drive and motivation for you to be upright. And the Qiyam is the establishment of that urge. Once it's established. And he said this. He said, and this is why. This is why when you recite the Quran, it's only recited in the upright position. That's it, the Qiyam position. The Quran is recited in this. No other part in your prayer is recited the Quran. Only here. Because the Quran preserves and guides that uprightness. You see? Oh, where's proof of that, Imam? Ihdina surat al-mustaqim. Guide us where? On the mustaqim. What is mustaqim from? Same word. Qiyam, taqweem, qawma, all that come from that same root word. This is why you got to get Arabia. So you can understand the concepts, how they connect. It's about connecting knowledge together that gives you the perception of where you're going to go. All right, so now, here again we are at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you is he that learns the Quran and then teach the Quran. That's the best person. All this other stuff out here being taught, it's okay, because it's knowledge from the creation. But what's the best knowledge in the creation? Revelation. You got a book right here. This book right here. It says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book, the Quran. In it, there's no doubt. There's nothing in it doubtful. It is a guide. It is guidance for those who have consciousness of God. So this is the most excellent book. This is the most excellent book. This is the most excellent knowledge. There's no knowledge superior to this knowledge. وَفَوَقَ كُلِّ ذِي إِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. God says, above every knowledge there is more, and Allah is above it all. So if Allah is above all knowledge, no matter what you accumulate from the knowledge you got from His creation, He's still above what? His creation. All right, now, I want to emphasize to you Ramadan. Ramadan. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'anu hudan lin-nasi wa bayyinatin hudan wal furqan. It says the month of Ramadan, this is the purpose of it, is when the Quran was sent down as a guide to all human beings and clarity upon that guidance so you can make clear distinction in the world that you live in. This is that month. We said, well, when Ramadan come, we gotta fast. Yes? But what was the month originally for? Revelation. When did it come down? And what night? The night of power. The Laylatul Qadr khayru min alf shahr. That the night of power is better than 1,000 months. But don't think that, well, we gotta wait till dark for it to come down. The Quran came down as a light and a guide in darkness of the ignorance of man's thinking. That's what we started talking about. Man's thinking. Imam Muhammad said, look, you think the night has a problem? The night don't have a problem. It's what's in the night that got the problem. You. And your ignorance about your role in this creation is dark, and you have a problem in your responsibility. So the Quran comes down as a guidance to all linnas, huden linnas. It didn't say huden mukminun, huden mukmini, huden mutaki. It said it came down to linnas, the human being, every human being. Why? Because Allah created those human beings for a role and responsibility. And they are way off the track. They worship in sticks, stones, weather, darkness, light. They worship in the creation that they're supposed to be cultivating. They don't start worshiping what they're supposed to be cultivating. Worshiping cows, worshiping other human beings. Look at this situation we're in. You know, we're the only creation that does that. There's no such thing as a horse god. The horse don't tell other horses, I am the stallion, I'm a black stallion, and you all should worship me. Those big tall redwood trees, they don't tell all the apple trees and all of them, except I'm the tallest tree in the land. I think all of y'all should bow toward the redwood trees. There's no animal, there's no bees, there's no insect, there's nothing in the ocean. There's nothing that demands that you worship them except man. Man will make a statue and say, this is my statue, worship it. Or he'll make money. I got $20 trillion. I deserve your homage. Kiss my hand. Man does that. No other creation, think, no other creation demand that you worship them because of the color or because of the hair or anything. Look at all these powerful creatures that have been on the earth. You know, the elephant, big as he is, he don't ask for worship. The lion, king of the jungle, he don't say, I'm the king of the jungle. I need all of you to come over here to the den and bring me something. No creature that's been created by God demands that except for that nature in us that demand that I need to be respected. I am it. I am the imam. I am the sheikh. I am the early man. I'm this. I'm that. I. Just choking himself to death with I. This is man's problem. He's copying off of Iblis. Iblis was so arrogant that he refused even to obey God when God said, "Man, man, I can. Allah test you that. What prevents you, oh Iblis, when I ask you to make sajda?" And his response was, "I." Anna, khayru minhu. I am better from him. And then he said, khalaqatani min nar, وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. You created me from fire, and you created him from what? Clay. And Imam Muhammad said like this, he said, now, that's when he should have stopped right there. Because he recognized that God was his creator. Read it. It says, خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ. You created me from what you created called fire. Now God created the fire and created him, and he's still rebellious. And that rebellion led him straight to hell, and he became the devil. So here, let's look now. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran came down as a guidance. So I want to emphasize you upon it. I know you want to fast, and you got to fast. And we'll just share a few minutes why that fast is so important. But the most important thing in here is reading the Quran. The fast gonna help you read the Quran, because it's gonna keep you conscious of obeying God. Listen, you and I are to refrain from what? Drinking, eating, and sexual activity, or procreative activities called sex, right? All three of those are powerful life drives. You have to drink, you have to eat, and you have to procreate in order to continue life, right? They're drive. They're more powerful to drive you than gasoline or atomic weapons and things. The drive for life. Nobody wakes up and say, man, this is a good day to die. You don't wake up wanting to die. You wake up wanting what? Live. So there are things connected with those life drives. So Allah says this. On the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah revealed to him, refrain from these things, these life drives, not at night, in the day. It's easy to do at night. If you say, well, I'm fasting tonight, I'm gonna go to sleep. Then you wake up and you break your fast, call it breakfast, right? So it's very easy, because your conscience is gone, So your conscience is very obedient at night. Anybody ever commit a sin at night when you sleep? You're still alive, you just sleep. Let me go out and steal something. You sleep. People come and say, I can't wake him up, Brother Rahman. He's sleeping like a baby. And you're just so peaceful. Just out of heaven. Snoring. Enjoying it so much. You got low. Just enjoying it. So it's easy to fast at night. But in the daytime now, when the mind is alive and you got all kind of temptation, everything around, and God says, just obey me. And obedience is not from the outside, it's got to come from the inside. Because you get hungry in here. You get thirsty in here. You have a sex drive in here. And those drives for life, you say, stop. The stomach says, I'm hungry. Okay, well, so what that mean? I need you to feed me. I'm fasting. Well, you ate this time yesterday. Well, the day is Ramadan. And then you check that drive, and you check the third drive. You begin to check these drives, and you're not fasting because you just want to do it. Why are you fasting? Allah says, fasting is for me. It ain't for you. Fasting is for me. You see? So look how wonderful our religion is to check the life that Allah gave you as a gift. You didn't go to no grocery store and say, give me a pound of that and a pound of that and come alive. You didn't get your body through a Frankenstein operation. You got this life from what Allah did in the darkness of the womb. You see, between mother and father coming together, he created both of them, and in that interaction, you came and I came. So we came here with these drives. So now here's Ramadan to give us the siyam, or the fasting, over the control and the discipline of the life. And if we learn how to discipline the life drive that Allah gave us, you're going to be successful in this world and the next. Allahu Akbar. Yes, brothers and sisters. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran came down. So the most important emphasis should be on this Quran, because the Quran came down to guide us out of zulumat, darkness, oppressive darkness. Because we are oppressing ourselves. Ibrahim alayhi wasalam, in one of his prayers, he said, Zalamtu nafsi, Zalamtu nafsi. I have oppressed my own self. So we are oppressing ourselves with this lifestyle that we have, and the Quran comes to bring you out of bondage. The Ramadan comes to break the shackles of the bondage of your own appetite, your own drives. This is what Ramadan does. So now when I go in there, I have a better attitude of saying, okay, I'm dealing with this Ramadan. You know? And what happens when you fast? They say the Satan is what? Locked up? During the month. He locked up. But you know, they doing all kinds of Satan. You say, well, I thought Satan was locked up. They killing people, they doing this, and you know. No, it's locked up in you. Once you become conscious of God, Satan is outdoors. You know, there's a story in one of the scholars' books, Ghazali, Ihyam Ulam Deen, you know, his book of the revival, it's called The Revival of Religion. But there's a story in there that says that two people are walking together, or they meet each other walking, but they have devils in them, you see. And if I meet, when I meet the person, the two people meet each other, the two devils meet each other, and they speak. You know, so there's a devil in me and there's a devil in Omar. We both got devils walking around in us, you know. And one devil comes up and say, how you doing? Oh man. See, Omar's devil is saying that he's doing all right. You know, I'm doing fine. How you doing, man? Now my devil's saying, man, I ain't doing too good. Well, what's wrong? Why you doing? What's wrong? Well, I'm in a body that he fasts, he prays, he gives charity, he remembers the poor, he respects the elderly, he just do everything. And he does extra prayers. And I'm so weak, I can't hardly make it. He breathing hard. The other double, the other one, shoot. Man ain't doing nothing. He don't pray, he don't fast, he gambles, he drinks liquor, he don't obey God. Yeah, I'm just growing strong every day. So well, we're showing that we have these devils in us that are working, and what checks them is your obedience to God. See, the more you obey God, the weaker the devil gets. The less you obey God, the stronger he gets. So how do you obey God? Through taqwa. What is taqwa? Consciousness of God. And look what Ramadan does. Ramadan make you conscious of God in everything, man. You gotta read the Quran. You do prayers, extra prayers. You wake up on time. You have suhoor. Cause you know, if you miss suhoor, oh, it's gonna be even rough. Cause you gotta get that early morning suhoor. And you start that fast. And when the stomach starts growling, your desire starts going, you smell something. Boy, that smell good. Ain't nothing wrong with smelling, just don't eat it. You know? And you say, but I can't get nothing. That's a bigger reward. You know, when you smell something, and you smell that fried chicken stuff going, man, it smell good. Brother, you fast. I know it, but I can still smell. Don't say nothing about not smelling. You know, but look, the smell makes you want to desire it more, and because you desire it more and you don't go after it, it makes you stronger. Say, so why won't you go get some? Because I'm fasting. You thirsty? Yeah, but I'm fasting. You know, you see your wife? Baby, you look good today. You know, what time is it? I'm fasting. Look, The strength that you build up during Ramadan prepares you to obey God all the rest of the year. This is the beauty of the fast. However, what keeps you more in contact with the fast is the Quran. Why? Because you're reading 1/30 every day. Every day you're reading the Quran, you see? And you probably ain't read the Quran about twice that year. Picked it up for an emergency case. Oh, God, help me. We'll see what I can find out. And then after you solve the emergency, you back when Ramadan come, I'm going to read it again. I know how we work now. So here now, look. Here we are now, brothers and sisters. We have Ramadan, and we're reading the Quran every day. And how many times have you read Quran and you read the same verse you did last year, you know, and you got more out of it? You see, Allah continue to grow the plant of roots in your own soul. Your soul keeps growing every time you touch that book. Now, what if you finish Ramadan and keep reading it all the rest of the year? Oh, buddy, your whole system is going to transform. And you're going to say, Brother Cotton, you sure are different. Yeah, I've been reading the Quran pretty regularly, you know. Just like you check him, and you look like you losing weight. You look like your muscles are toning. Yeah, I've been running. I've been jogging. I've been doing this and et cetera. I've been doing all this with the Quran. And my attitude, my behavior, you know, my relationship with life is becoming better and better and better and better. That's what Ramadan does, you see. So don't go into Ramadan and say, oh, I got to fast. I really need to fast, and it's going to be hard on me. That's the wrong attitude. You say, oh, man, who is it? Ramadan. Oh, my God. Come on in, man. How you doing? Oh, man, have I been waiting on you? Well, man, it's so happy. Have a seat. Have a seat, man. Can you share something? You know, you welcome them. You see, you welcome Ramadan. Ramadan is your best friend in the time of this need. And some of us been waiting on it. I can't wait. Man, I'll be glad we be telling them, well, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to get rid of this when this happening. You know, because you know, the other thing is your language change, your patience increase. You know, you get ready to cuss somebody. Oh, it's Ramadan, bro. Wait till after Ramadan. I'm going to let you know what I think. You begin to control the tongue. You begin to control the eyes. You begin to control the thinking. You begin to control those things under you that just like this, just out waving around in the chair. And you begin, okay, all of y'all come on in. Well, what's wrong? Just come on in, sit down. You ain't loose no more. Satan, you ain't loose. You tied up. Sit, get in that cell and don't come out. I might let you out after 30 days. It depends on how you act when you're in there. You see? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, yeah, Rasul, do you also have a jinn? He said, yes. But I have made man aslam. Aslam. You know, sometimes they train, I have made man a Muslim. But it's aslam. Aslam is the fourth form of the Arabic verb that I have caused him to submit and surrender. And he only does what I tell him to do. So you got a jinn, and a jinn is good for you. When you order it, it's like the jinn or the genie in the bottle. You rub it. Yes, master. I need you to go and do this, and then get back in here. And look, I need you to get in here back by 6. Yes, master. That jinn will go out, do what you want, get back in there, and stay in the bottle until you uncap him and send him out again. That's how you get the jinn to work for you. Solomon in the Quran, it said Solomon had what? Jinn and men in his army. So this is the real world. Get out of spookism. Get out of fears, that don't unfounded fears. This is a bona fide, real religion, and it will improve your life. So have a blessed Ramadan. It may come in tonight and it may come in tomorrow, but you know, this is the beautiful thing about it. See, the prayers are done by the sun, but the fast is done by the moon. That's what Imam Muhammad said. He said, we regulate our prayer service for enlightenment. Prayer also represents enlightenment on the social scale. The sun shines on everybody. It's a social scale. But the moon is a individual light, you see, of your own obedience to come into understanding. Because see, the moon don't shine every place. What I mean by that, when the moon is out, you only see a certain spot. So it represents individual intelligence and growth. But the sun represents social, broad. It goes out to everybody. But the moon, you know, well, the moon is shining over there, so it comes out over there. It don't brighten up like that. So here is the fast. The fast is just for you. I can't fast for you. I can't lead you in your fast. I can lead you in prayer, but I can't lead you in your fast. I can't even lead you in your sunnahs. That's your own personal prayer. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the point that I want to emphasize to you. Look at Ramadan as a personal responsibility. So when Eid al-Fitr come, you have made a personal achievement. You see? Eid al-Adha is a community achievement. That's why it's duha, the light. Eid al-Adha. Adha is from duha, the light is bright. But Eid al-Fitr is that original nature that is birthed out of darkness. And it's just for you. Allahu Akbar. So I hope these little things have helped us. I don't want to hold you, because you know I already got the Ramadan spirit, so I can keep you up to Taraweeh prayer, you know. But we're not going to do that. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for the Quran. Please read your Quran with great enthusiasm and sincerity. And work, make a commitment this month. Oh Allah, I want to learn your Quran in the language that is revealed in. Imam Muhammad told me once, he said, when our community learn how to read the Quran in the language that was revealed, you can see a lot of our problems just eliminate. Personal problems and community problems and etc. So, I'm passing through. I'm just one of those journeymen passing through. But I do have books and things on Arabic, Quran, CDs, you know, that can help ease your journey. So I hope that you'll be able to assist in the work that we're doing around the country. You know, because this is my life. I pray to Allah to bless me just to do this for Him. I don't do nothing else. You know, I do something else, but my goal is to work for Allah only. And I thank Allah for you all, this community, because I get my inspiration and spirit to help from trying to help my own community, helping other Muslims too now. But I really long to see us come into the position of what Imam Muhammad told me once. He said, you know, Qasim, Allah has blessed the African American people with the spirit to carry the Quran. All they need is the technical understanding. I'm going to tell you that. Please understand that. That's not just an empty. That statement has grown on me so much that I begin to understand so much from that. The spirit, and he said, I'm not just talking about the ones that said Muslim. He said the African American, all the entertainers, the basketball players, they have the spirit. All of those people, they've earned that spirit by going through what they went through over 400 years. And encaged in you, that desire to want God even more is still there. And Allah has shaped you and formed you in your spirit to carry this book, the Quran. All you need is the technical expression. One other thing I want to share with you. I was doing some studying one early morning, and I was looking and trying to find the Arabic understanding for epistemology. Epistemology is the study of the origin of knowledge, you see. And because I was connecting it with Razikun. Razikun in the Quran is deep knowledge, you see. And it's more, but I'm just making it short. So I'm looking in I have a book called the Arabic English Psychological Dictionary. So I'm looking in here for this word epistemology, and I run across the term psychokinesis. Psychokinesis. Psychokinesis is a study of the mind, of being able to move physical objects or events with the mind. This is psychokinesis, which a lot of us have. You just don't understand its workings. But what really gave me insight into it was the Arabic term for psychokinesis was harakatun nafsiyatun. Harakatun nafsiyatun. Haraka is the means movement. Something is moving like this, causing movement. But it's the same term for vowels. Vowels, you know, vowels, like in Arabic, you know, the vowels go over and under the letters, you see? And nafsiyatun is from nafs, the soul, you see? So it is the movement of the soul, the spirit of the soul. So I said to myself, I said, wow, look at here. I want you to understand it. When the Quran was revealed to Muhammad the prophet, Jibril didn't say, Muhammad, read this. No, it's revealed where? On his heart, right? And when they began to record the writings, there was no vowels over the letters. None. Where did the vowels come from? Where did the movement of the consonant and the letters come from? They didn't put them on there. It came from Muhammad's soul. He showed him in his own soul, his own Hanifa, how to move these words. Because look, if you put a vowel in the wrong word, a wrong place on a word, you can change the whole meaning. That's why when the Quran began to go out, they had to codify and put vowels and things on, because people were pronouncing things wrong and getting the wrong understanding. But it was the soul of Muhammad, the spirit of Muhammad, that got the correct movement of how the message of God should be transmitted. That's why you got to pronounce it right. You can't make up your own sounds and things like that. You got to pronounce it with its tajweed correctly. That came from the soul of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, here's the connection. Allah has blessed you with that spirit. All you need is the technical knowledge. Allah has blessed you with the spirit. Why? Because you love God more than anything. And they have tried to tear it out of you. Like Henry Clay said back in the 1800s, as long as we can keep the light of Islam out of the mind of the slave, we can forever keep him on the level of the beast of the field. You was never intended to be human again. You were supposed to be animals. What up, my dog? Or a horse. Put a saddle on. I'm a horse today. We've been everything. But thank Allah, He has captured our souls, redeemed our spirit, and showed His mercy on us. And now here we are during the fast Ramadan again. We're making our prayers. We're learning the Arabic and etc. So don't cheat your soul. Don't cheat yourself. Give yourself the best that you deserve. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar wa aqim as-salat. Assalamu alaykum.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat, hayya ala falah. Qad qamati salat, qad qamati salat. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Let's make sure I roll the string.